And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
That was the weakest sing-along. Weakest sing-along ever.
I didn't know we were supposed to be singing along.
That was it, man. That was it. That was the intro.
You know what drives me crazy? It's like when you're at a place and they go, like a concert or whatever, and they're like, hey, you everyone glad to be here? And everyone kind of like this goes,
yeah.
Oh, come on. Y'all can do better than that.
Okay, and, yeah.
I don't know.
Come on, one more time. Yeah. Yeah. You know what drives me crazy at concerts? This. Hi, I'm so-and-so singer. This is my biggest hit. I'll tell you my story. It was Bon Jovi. I had seen Bon Jovi at one of the festivals a couple of years ago. And you hear the beginning of Wanted Dead or Alive. That's the whole reason I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to hear any. I could care less about anything else. And I'm like, yeah. By the way, hi, I'm Bubba. That's Big D. That's Patrick. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Wanted Dead or Alive. Wanted. You know, I'm like, this is going to be awesome. So he gets up there, he does the beginning part, he goes, it's all the same, and then he holds the microphone out to the crowd
no!
and makes them sing it back to him.
I
was pissed. I wasn't even just slightly mad. I walked out. I'm like, are you halfway through the song? Because he did it literally, it wasn't like he just did it for a moment. He just left it out there and made the crowd sing it back to him. And he would do the hands, like, you know, popping his hands up, like, come on, louder, louder, louder. And people would, of course, sing it back. I didn't pay my money to hear Patrick or Big D or you listening to this podcast sing Wanted Dead or Alive.
Like, I'm cool with crowd sing-alongs.
No!
Hold on. Like at the near the end, you're near the end of the song. You've already done the whole song, and you're doing like the last chorus.
Like,
and
you to come back.
Yeah, come on, everybody, now, sing along.
You're right. I'm
not
cool.
From the beginning. Come on, man. That's just lazy.
Yeah.
It's lazy.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though.
I was so mad. I was ticked. Garth did that one time. And, you know, I'm the biggest Garth fan.
But Garth does it like at the end of
Unanswered
Prayers. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But he doesn't do the whole song.
Oh, he did?
Oh, in Baton Rouge, he did
that one time.
Thing.
Yeah,
I remember.
This is back in the day,
oh,
man.
Oh, gosh.
1996. I'm 98. The biggest. Was it 98?
90, I know because I was there.
Okay.
I was a freshman at LSU.
I was so excited.
Oh.
And everybody had to sing Unanswered Prayers to me. I paid money for you to sing to me.
But in Garth's defense, like, the rest of that show is so awesome.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but not your biggest song.
Speaking of Garth, part of this podcast brought to you by Walmart.
Yes, where you're going to find low prices on everything you need for a fresh start this new year. Thank you, Big D, for remembering to throw the Walmart plug in there. Please take advantage of it. Enjoy the big savings. Got the rollbacks, got the clearance on thousands of items throughout the store. You can also get online and save a lot of money. Start strong, save big, Walmart.
I feel like we should clap or something if you did that.
Slow clap. It's
slow
building.
Clap.
You cleaned your
you
garage.
Know, I always get the. I'm sorry. I was just.
Big D
always,
cleaned his garage. Yeah. Did you see the pictures?
It looks
beautiful.
My garage is not big enough for two cars, even if I cleaned it all out. But I really don't know that your garage was meant for two cars.
It's tight. It's tight.
Yeah, like you parked your wife's truck in first before your truck.
It is like
obviously because there's no way she would be able to fit between the two.
You know those shipping containers you see when they're unloading them off of ships like from Taiwan and whatnot?
Yeah,
that's the kind of process it is. It is very this is down to measurements and inches and backup cameras. And if I didn't have the little beep beep beep,
yeah,
beep, 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 I would have an insurance claim. So it took me 3 hours to get it cleaned up. I woke up the next day sore.
That's better than what it would take to do mine.
I'm real close to getting some of those things you hang on the wall that
the little
kits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where it's like cabinet kits and everything.
Because I've got stuff on the sides. Like you have some people who are like, they have all the tools like on the board and they're labeled and all that kind of stuff. I'm not there yet.
Batarang.
But I am getting closer, and I've got it. I'm about two more sessions with my garage and having it done. But it's that feeling.
Your hangar, I'm looking at this right now. Your hangar and your garage kind of look the same.
Well,
you're the hangar where you keep your plane. Oh. Like the way you have things organized.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of around everything.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, the way you have it, you have nice, neat shelves and everything like that. Yeah. I just have stuff everywhere.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Boxes on top of boxes. You don't have that.
No.
I have stuff piled up on top of my lawnmower. And
I like, do you guys enjoy cleaning the house?
No.
Oh, I love it.
I enjoy a clean house. My wife is amazing. Big shout out to her. Whoop, whoop, you're great.
I like it. I enjoy getting up on a Saturday morning and cleaning the kitchen completely.
I will clean the house. I'll vacuum and clean the bathrooms and tidy up and all that. There's three things I don't do. And I don't like to cut grass. I hate to do dishes, and I hate to fold clothes.
And you live by yourself.
Yeah.
How does anything get done?
I have a maid who comes once a month. What? Twice a month. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
No.
What about your clothes? Do you just have a pile?
I just have a pile of clean clothes. I have a basket. I have a dirty basket and a clean basket.
Is that why they're always wrinkly?
Clothes, no, they're wrinkly because I'm fat and slobby.
I used to work with this guy, and his radio name was Skid Marks. It's a great.
Oh, my God.
He kind of lived that way because listen what he did. He would never wash clothes. He would just throw stuff into a pile. He had a two-bedroom apartment. So this pile in his room, it looked like hoarders. He would never wear the same shirt twice. He would just, like, whenever he needed a new shirt, he would just go buy a new shirt.
No, that's just ridiculous.
I don't know whatever happened to him, man. He might be buried under a pile of...
Because he spent all his money on new shoes. I'm wearing T-shirts and slacks. So it's not like I need to, your clothes aren't folded. So what? Can you tell this T-shirt is wrinkly? No, it's a T-shirt. So
I failed the other day. Peter came to visit us. Peter in New York City swung by the studio to hang out with us for a couple hours and talk shop for a while. And that morning, I forgot he was coming in. So I was in a hurry because, I'm always in a hurry running late. And I grab a pair of shorts and I did the oh, yeah, these are good. And I threw them on. I get to work and I'm like, God, dog, my shorts stink. And then, he shows up and I'm like, oh, man.
Well, if you hadn't told us all about it on the podcast, no one would have known.
No one would have known.
No one would have known.
Are y'all pants sniffers, though?
I have been a pants sniffer, yeah.
I'll do that for, blue jeans. And now, it's rare that I'll wear the same pair of shorts twice.
What is it? Now, how do you do it? Do you hold them up like this?
No. I bury my nose into it, yeah. It's my butt. I know how often it's clean, I trust myself. And I actually don't smell it from the outside. I'll smell it from the in because if you're out, then you're getting all the germs that you sat. I don't know. It's weird. But yeah, I do. How do you do it?
I love all the complexity of it. And he says he's not a germaphobe.
I'm not a germaphobe, but I would rather smell it from the inside than the outside.
Why don't you smell on the outside?
Because I sit in Patrick's chair sometime.
What's in Patrick's chair? Sometimes. What are you afraid of? Oh, germs? You're afraid of germs. Oh,
not
okay.
Germs. It's just those kind of germs.
What are germaphobes afraid of?
I think germs.
I think so. So I think we can conclude. I think we can
deduce, assume, conclude. Concourse. I mean, if you're going to be wrong, go way off.
I like to, I'm a pant holder up, like I hold the pants up all the way across.
Mm-hmm.
From one end to the other.
And you just kind of lightly, do you wop, shake it a little bit to see if, some kind of...
I don't shake it. I wave it. I take it, and then I kind of wave it towards my face. Yeah,
to bring the breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You smell the butt? You have to. Yeah, I just pour the face into it.
I'm not a crotch smeller. I don't do that.
Here's the thing, though, because what happens is when you're wearing them, if you smell them and they're even slightly borderline, don't put them on. Because the moment you put them on, they start to warm up. And when things warm up, they start to get a little more odoriferous.
You get the stank.
Yeah, they do. And you have to be careful with that. So, yeah, that's why I don't normally wear the same shorts two in a row. But, I was like, Yeah, that was crazy. Like these. I haven't worn these actually in probably a month. Because I didn't know who was going to drop by today.
Thanks to Lee Bryce this week. He gave us a beautiful pick. What do you call this?
It's a plaque. They do these plaques in the music industry. If you have a gold record, they give out these things, and they look like gold records.
But it's not a plaque. Like, there's not a piece of metal engraved. It's not like that.
It's, no, it's like a record or a CD or whatever they even. I'm not even looking at his right now. Where is it?
We have one. It's over here.
Oh yeah, yeah. He doesn't have even anything. They used to put records in there, and they would paint them gold. Well, they don't do that anymore because who buys records? Except for us on Flashback Friday or Throwback Thursday. Then they went to CDs for a while, and now they don't even do that because everybody downloads everything. So they're just like, eh.
Now
it's a picture of the artist in a little plaque that's engraved, and it says, congratulations to Big D and Bubba, you know, for so-and-so. Taylor Swift sold this many albums, and here you go. Here's a plaque to hang up in your office. Well, we have them all hanging up in our bathroom, which we call the Stall of Fame, because we don't like clutter on the walls. And this one from Lee is awesome. He knows us well. So instead of doing a plaque for the song Parking Lot Party, which he, what is it, a year late? Everybody else in the entire music industry got theirs a year ago.
That's okay. I don't care.
Yeah,
ours is special and unique. It's to us.
It's way specialer.
It says...
parking squat party.
Yeah. And he made it so because he knows we don't put stuff on our walls here.
It all goes in the bathroom.
Only wall that gets anything hanging on it is in our bathroom. And so
it's the best, dude. I mean, it is in Enzo. I don't know if Enzo is listening to the podcast. Enzo helped him design it. And Enzo's with his record label, but he did the border of the entire thing is porta potties. It's brilliant. Yeah. It really is brilliant. It's got a toilet on it with beer being iced down in it and everything. It's great. Easily one of the best ones. We have got to get that hung up in there, like either today or, you know, whenever Monday if we get a second.
What else is going on? What else this week? This week went by really fast.
It went by way too fast. We're headed to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital to spend the weekend there and kind of do our part in... you know, spreading the love and helping bring awareness to the fight for these kids.
Yeah, and not just for the hospital, but also for helping fight childhood cancers, you know, globally and at every level.
And other life-threatening illnesses.
Yeah.
Because they kind of cover everything.
Yeah.
That's going to be cool. So if you're following on Facebook and stuff, we'll be posting pictures and stuff.
Yeah, what's up, Patrick?
Well, I started online dating again this week.
And you got on Match.
Can I stop saying? Why do you wait to tell us things like this on the podcast?
You knew. I mean, come on. It's not like it's a surprise. We've been talking about it. Match.com.
I got it, but I thought that was for the commercial.
I think the only reason he uses, like he actually does the Match.com commercials is because he wants to be able to get on with the free membership. Is that why?
Hurt.
Have you ever asked them, hey, can you... because I endorse you guys, can you, like, make me look
up
better?
Your stock?
No, I mean,
I don't know.
Here's the thing.
Like, make you show up in more searches?
They're still working with the raw material. This is still what they have to
work
with.
But can't they make it featured person?
You
would get more people seeing? Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Women don't message men on online dating. They don't. Okay, you have to send messages to them, and they don't reply, okay, when you look like me.
I am so glad that I skipped out on the whole online dating thing.
It was different than it used to be different than it is now.
I got lucky, man. I met my wife the old-fashioned way. We were drunk in a bar. That's the old-fashioned way.
That's the old-fashioned way, man.
Big D's was even worse. His was even more old-fashioned. She was a stalker.
She stalked him.
Please don't tell. I know we tell that story and it's true. Don't say
we don't want to say that.
Yeah, she hates that.
Okay, well we won't. Say
I'm sorry. She was an admirer.
Yeah.
She was an admirer.
They were neighbors.
Yeah,
that's how they met.
Let's say that.
Yeah,
admirer.
So, anyway, I don't know. I talk for a living. This is what we do. I'm not very good with typing messages to people. I have no idea what to say. And God forbid somebody replies. I have no idea how to keep that conversation going.
You know,
It's tough.
There are some people who are really good at the surface things. They're really good at looking great at a party.
Yeah.
But once you get them away from that and get to know them, they're duds.
Yeah.
There are those people. And then there are those people, and I put you in this second category, where, well, no, because you are good at that surface stuff too. And when you get to know you, you're better than those other people.
I see what you're trying to
say. But you know what I mean? It's just,
I'm not good in a context where I don't know anybody and I can't talk to people. In other words, at a bar and when it's loud, it's not my scene. You know, I'm not good looking enough to catch your attention just by winking at you or whatever. Okay. And I can't be,
if somebody winked at me, I'd be not, like, you're
creepy. You know what I mean? I can't be personable in a bar when, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, you get, where are you from? You know,
I just winked at him.
No, but you know what I mean? You know, I imagine there are dudes good looking enough to where they go in the bar that just wink at some girl and that's all it takes.
See, I think it actually works the other way. I think it makes them look douchey.
You know,
it's just a
women all say this is, I wrote about this in my blog last week and I was really, and a bunch of people tried to tell me I was wrong. And I know I'm right. Look, men and women are both shallow, but men are honest about it. Men are honest about their shallowness. Men do not say stupid things like, I just really want a nice girl who's funny and smart. Men don't say that. Okay. We know what we like. We know what we want. If we're shallow, we're at least admit it. Women lie. And that drives me nuts. Every profile I read on Match says, I'm really just looking for someone who's funny and can make me laugh. No, you're not. Because if you were, you would be with me. If women were really looking for someone funny that could make them laugh, there would be a line of women outside of my door right now taking numbers.
Well, okay? It's like we talk about with all the comedians. I mean, they all say the same thing. They're like, look, you know, you hear that kind of stuff, but it just doesn't happen.
No.
I'm not saying that is very interesting.
Know, you get to a point as a comedian where you're famous enough where your fame works, but it's not just the funny. No. And I'll tell you what I learned on New Year's Eve. You know who doesn't go to comedy shows? Groups of single women. That's who is not at a comedy show.
On New Year's Eve?
Especially not on New Year's Eve, because we had 400 people at the first show and 350-ish people at the second show, and there was all couples. All couples. It was New Year's Eve. So there was a big after party after the midnight show. Like the second show started at 10 and ended at midnight. Countdown and noisemakers, and then there was a DJ playing music and dancing, and I was like, okay, I can go now.
Would you change momentarily change who you are to keep a relationship going?
Not if it's something I couldn't keep up. I'm too old now. Yes, when I was young, I've done that, but you know, now I'm old enough to know it's just not worth it. If it's something you can live with, then and make an adjustment.
Like,
in
what
who
kind
you
of
are,
change are you talking about? Yeah. Like clothing, hairstyle,
yeah,
or like
personality. I mean,
beliefs.
No, I don't think you're. Otherwise, you're really shallow if you change your core beliefs.
I've seen people do it. It's crazy. You know, I know girls who, you know, who only drink wine, and they start dating a guy who's really into beer, and then they only drink beer. As weird as that sounds, but that's a thing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
that's more.
That's not how I am. You like beer? That's cute. I'm still going to drink whiskey. You can drink beer. I don't care. We're not kids. Why do we got to act like we like all the same stuff?
Can we go to the bathroom at the same time?
No, that's weird. Why in God's name would you even say that?
Well,
but
I think
I just want a nice, smart, funny guy. But in reality, they end up laughing at whatever the good-looking dumb guy says. So you don't really want a smart, funny guy.
Could you imagine how small our audience would be if we were on television instead of radio?
Are you?
Because who would stop on our channel?
Yeah.
We're not pretty enough to make people stop. And we're not goofy looking enough to make people stop. Because there is something on the far extreme that I think that we're just normal dudes.
Yeah. I am anyway.
Normal looking dudes. I don't know.
I think you need a I really think you need to go through some sort of a confidence course.
I agree.
It wouldn't help. It wouldn't help me on online dating. How do you exude confidence?
I think that's so ironic. I think you should go do a confidence course. It wouldn't help.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might help me talk to girls in a bar, but I'm not really sure that's my thing anyway. But yeah.
Somewhere when you were a fat little kid.
Yeah.
Someone said something.
Oh, someone?
And it shattered
like,
him?
How about some people? Yeah.
And it rocked your world. It had such an impact on you.
But
that
look,
you,
it's
even
based
today,
in reality. I hate when people go, looks don't matter. All you got to have is confidence. Yeah, but it still matters. It still matters.
Sure does.
Confidence okay. does get you in the door, though.
But looks
just
still
like
matter.
Looks. All that individually gets you into the door with different people. If you have any combination of all that, then you're really hooked up.
It drives me nuts now when people say, you just got to be more confident. You know what? It's not that easy. I can't just be more confident. I said this to a friend of mine over Christmas. She's like, you just need to be more confident. I'm like, you know what? You just need to be hilarious. How about that? Okay. How come you're not funnier?
Yeah.
You know, you're not. Because it's not you.
Patrick,
so,
you should be more like your brother.
Which one?
I don't know. I just wanted to say it because, you know.
My oldest brother standard. Is that guy who was joking earlier about the guy who winks at the girl and they come over and talk to him. That was my oldest brother. He would just go into a bar. He didn't even talk. He would just kind of stand there and nod his head at some girl and she'd come over and start talking to him. I'm like, yeah, you know, that would be nice. But it doesn't quite work that way.
Is he married?
Oh, yeah. He is now.
Do you ever get a divorce?
Nope.
No. That's the one who, like, made the gumbo, like the...
He's the two-time world champion gumbo.
Are you serious?
Winner, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Both my brothers are, like, super freaking good cooks.
What happened to you?
Patrick's a good cook.
I'm a good cook. I just don't cook. I never take the time.
I never eat your cooking.
I learned everything
offer.
From watching them.
Yeah, yeah, you're pretty good. You're really good, actually. So, speaking of food, we started our 100 pounds in 100 days.
Back to fat talk.
So we are getting healthy and trying to change our weight and our body shapes. We're so far into it pretty good. Patrick's going to be tough because he's already been doing this.
Yeah.
So he's already lost 30 pounds in the last 90 days. So it's almost like he's doing this again. He's like doing it twice.
You know what I did yesterday? I went and I jogged.
What?
I really? Jogged from the mailbox back into the house. And I was like, golly. Because I was just like, you know.
Like, what is that, 40 feet?
Well, yeah, exactly. I haven't moved like that since the end of softball. Because remember I jacked up my foot? Playing softball and everything. So I'm like, let me see if I can, you know, run on it a little bit. So I jogged from the mailbox back to the house and I realized something. Maybe it's because of the added weight or the fact that I haven't run at all in a while. It felt like I was pushing a wall.
Yep.
It was crazy. I felt twice as heavy as I did before, even though I'm from the end of softball season, I'm only maybe 15 pounds heavier.
Yep. You feel like the feeling like when you're in the pool and then you get out.
Yes, it was like running against water.
When you get out of the pool and you feel so heavy and you're like, cool. Yeah. That release of the water kind of buoyancy helping you and then all of a sudden you're in real gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's
the thing. It was a reminder that I've got to start A, moving, and B, losing weight.
It's in steps. If you're listening to this and you're overweight and you're inactive, this is for you. Your first time when you go into the gym, it's going to be very intimidating.
Wear long shirts.
You're going to see people in there who have been there for years,
yeah.
who are into the mentality of it. They are into the culture of it. And there are two different types at the gym. You have cardio people and you have hardcore iron lifters, okay? You get the weight bodybuilder kind of type guys or guys who are just lifting, and you have usually your women and older people, men, who are just always just cardio. If you're just getting started, I'm telling you from experience, this is just me, my opinion, start off doing cardio. Do some treadmill. Maybe if you want to, maybe do that for 10, 15 minutes, and you want to go home, okay? You're gonna be sore. Your feet are gonna hurt. Your joint's gonna hurt the next day.
Don't do more than you can.
Because what happens is when you do too much, you don't want to go back ever.
And you might go back. You might be able to do too much for a week or 10 days, but sooner or later you're gonna just get burned out.
You know what? Yeah, this isn't worth it. I feel terrible. So do it small things, and then move into like maybe you want to do the elliptical. It's good on your joints. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a sliding motion. And
it hurts my back.
Well,
like the way you kind of hold it.
They do the recumbent bike where you sit down and do the bike.
I like that.
Do that. And there's so much, it depends on what kind of gym you go to, but they have so many technologies helped it. You have a screen where they take a video camera and the screen is like you're biking through what you're seeing. It's kind of cool.
Like today, I'm biking through the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow, I'm biking through this. The day after, I'm going to do Pikes Peak, and you do all the different things.
So you're going to do cardio for the first week and kind of get your muscles moving some and get lots of rest. When you go to bed, get this supplement called ZMA. ZMA.
ZMA! You're bringing it back?
Yeah. Get ZMA. It's zinc, magnesium, and what's the A again? I can never remember what the A is. But it's going to help.
Arsenic?
It's going to help with recovery. Give you some good rest. Take it at night. And then the next week, then you start maybe bringing in some lifting into it. And then work from there. That's all you do. It's all you get. I get the first week for you.
The guys, the bodybuilder guys, just blow my mind. You know, you go to a big enough gym. I used to go to the big gym. And it's mind-blowing to see just normal guys. You know, you think, oh, that's a normal-looking dude, and then he puts on his gym clothes and goes out there and lifts, and you go, oh, no, look at the flipping shoulders and arms on that guy. Like, I've never had that thing. I've got big muscles somewhere under here just to carry this weight around. You just can't see it.
Well,
you know, I'll never forget the biggest, scariest-looking dude I saw. I had seen this guy several times, and he looked like a He-Man action figure. Like, his shoulders were round like freaking beach balls. Okay, not beach balls, but bowling balls. Big, round shoulder sockets, the whole thing.
Boulder shoulders.
Huge arms, huge, perfectly cut physique. Big Bubba calves, but, you know, without the rest of the big Bubba stuff.
Hey, now.
I'm sorry. But, you know, just big old dude. And finally, I'm standing near him one day, and I said, man, I got to tell you, I've seen a lot of dudes in here working out, but your shoulders are freaky huge.
You're hot.
You know, I'm glad I didn't say it any worse than I did, because his immediate response was, really? Thank you.
Oh,
I really
wow.
work very hard. I've been working on special exercises to get my shoulders exactly the way I want them.
So basically what you're saying is you're very jealous that this guy has been in the gym every day. Turned himself into a manlier man than you.
Yeah. But when he opened his mouth to talk, he sounded like a little girl. I'm not even doing the voice justice, because it was high-pitched and it was very feminine. I mean, you know, to each their own, but it was very much a, all right, biggest, scariest-looking dude in the gym. And it was very, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. Okay.
What's your name? Chris? You know, it's short for Crystal.
Yeah, some of those guys are, I'll tell you, they've been doing it for years, man.
Yeah,
you see those guys.
You don't get that big and that defined overnight. You just don't.
When you see the guys in the magazine, first off, most of them are juicing. I don't mean carrot juice. I mean steroids.
Right.
But they've been doing it for a long time, like since high school days. And so they've been working hard. They've been eating good. You know, listen, we're not going to get to that point. We're just not, okay? What we need to work on is
I'm going
to
get there.
Is, you know, the one in here is him. He really could. Bubba has the natural body of a bodybuilder. He's very muscular, but he's lazy. That's his problem. He doesn't want to do the work. And then you have guys like you and I who want to do the work.
But my body just doesn't.
But our body is so working against it. We have to work double hard to do it.
I'm having the worst time taking selfies.
Stop.
Patrick, just scoot in.
I've been trying to take a
selfie
for 10 minutes.
It's hard to fit all three of
us
big, giant bodies in this thing.
Why do we have to have a picture that we actually took during the podcast?
Because it's cool. People appreciate the effort. There we go. He's so funny. God, I look fat. Oop, delete.
Are we doing another one?
I swear to God.
Are you serious? Patrick's face. It's like exasperation.
Shoot, I just took it off the ceiling.
Oh, God, seriously. Well, this part of the podcast brought to you by Bubba Can't Take Pictures.
Hey, that one worked. Except Patrick's face isn't showing now because you were.
That's right.
He doesn't, I don't care he doesn't anymore. Care. I stopped caring about the 11th time you tried to take that picture.
I love when we're on the road. Jesus. Bubba and I are traveling. Dude, it's like traveling with a 13-year-old girl. Everything is, like, I've seen him take pictures of food. He takes pictures of himself. And, like some guy, like me, I would be embarrassed that I'm doing a selfie in front of another man, right? He doesn't. He just does it. And that's kind of the beauty of it all. He just such a, takes it, and then he kind of has this funny, funky smile. It just cracks me up. He's so cute.
I got a good one for you right now, man. You're going to like this one.
All right. Don't we have a songwriter spotlight to play?
What's wrong, man?
Do you have anything else to say? I think we pretty much talked about everything.
I could talk for 3 hours. I could keep going here all day.
I could
do it for 3 hours. I could come up with something to talk about. No. I couldn't.
I know you. You're almost as done as me.
One last thing. Did you see the Top Gear Russia magazine? Car magazine accidentally printed a picture of Russia's super secret submarine.
I saw that and I thought it was a joke.
No, it's not. My brother used to be on subs in the Navy. And he's like, oh my God. You know, he's like, yeah, that's not a good idea. He's like, you don't want to be the guy who says photo by whatever, who just screwed that one up in Russia.
Yeah,
they don't take kindly to that kind of stuff in Russia.
Are they still at the Russian sub that they get another one spotted in Norway, Sweden, something like that?
Sweden way.
Wasn't that Sweden? They had one pop up, and they were trying to find it and hunt it down. And then that was months ago. And then it happened again. They spotted another one like last week, I thought, or this week. I don't know.
It's interesting that all that's coming up because I saw something recently where America is investing like heavy into monitoring even more along our coastlines for submarine activity.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about, you know, you got the drug runners now have subs. You got the cartels have subs is what I'm talking about. I don't know if you've seen that. Those are crazy. Those Coke subs.
Yeah.
And they just bring them on in. And then, you know, everything goes nuts from there. But
it's pretty brilliant, man. Yeah. I mean, think of the guy, the first cartel guy says, all right.
Build us a submarine, man.
Look what I've bought. I've bought a submarine.
Well, they build these.
You know they didn't buy it. You know the first guy built the.
They make them. They get the plans out of the back of a popular science magazine.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
They're on Pinterest. Build your own.
You know what? They were doing this kind of stuff on for rum running back in the 20s.
Yep.
Back in the Prohibition. So I'm not surprised.
They're going to find a way to do it, mm-hmm. You know? When there's so much money involved in it.
Guys, I'm on Pinterest right now, and there are plans on how to build your own submarine. I'm not kidding. Holy crap.
Who said Pinterest was just for girls?
Dude, I love Pinterest.
Look at these pictures.
Pinterest, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. And everything I make off of there, like recipes, never looks like what they have.
Nope.
Ever.
There's a thing on if you type Pinterest into Pinterest or however the hell you say it into Google, the second thing that comes up is Pinterest fails. Which those are my favorite. Those are so great. You look
nailed
at all
it.
The pictures. Nailed it. That's always it.
Nailed
it's
it.
Always the picture. It's just awful. It's like, oh, look, somebody did this, and then they try to recreate
like
it.
Grover cookies, and then you're like, oh, mine look like a nightmare.
Oh, it's so good. So good. A friend of mine tried little mouse cupcakes recently.
Oh, my God.
The cupcakes with the little mouse whiskers, the nose, and the ears, and then...
Big D, you want to get up out of your seat and look at
no,
this.
No, I don't.
No, you do.
All right. We need this
for the studio.
I've
gone down the Pinterest rabbit hole, and I may never find my way out.
What is it?
It's a door. You know, how before we built the studio,
is it an old cool door?
It's an old cool door from a submarine.
Sucker for that.
Come and take a look at this crud. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. Right there. This is what we need to enter the studio. Look at this. Here, I'll turn it even better so you see it.
Oh, we need that.
Yeah, it looks all steampunk and crazy cool.
How? Oh, well, you can't buy it.
Then you can't build it, obviously.
Yeah, I wanted to get an old door, like
to put on the studio. You were willing to spend. You really wanted one that was $800.
Yeah, it was
for
cool,
a door. Though. It was cool,
but I didn't.
It was cool though.
So, but I'm glad we didn't do it. Actually, now
I want a submarine. I want a submarine, dude.
A submarine or a door.
I want a submarine.
You are a submarine.
Here's one.
No, you're the opposite of submarine. You can't go underwater.
That's right. You need to release some of this ballast. Here's one. How to build a shark submarine to look like a shark under.
I've seen that. I saw that on Sky Mall. In the magazine. They have one that they're like these things that look like
dolphins.
Dolphins.
Yes. No, this is one that looks like a shark.
That's cool, man. Listen, if you got money, someone's gonna find out how to get it. They're going to make something that you're going to go, oh, I got to have that. And you're going to be without.
Speaking of stuff, I have this for you. Speaking of stuff to get built, Dave, my mother-in-law's new husband.
Is this for me?
Gave you some plans to bring to you for like pictures, like because you're having a bed built for.
Yeah, loft bed.
Yeah. So he was like, look at those, pick your favorite one, and then, like, obviously the bed's going to be bigger because it's a full size or whatever, and then it's, he said, like, where they have the desks and stuff, there won't be any of that. It's going to be like a sofa underneath. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't quite know what he was talking about, but he said, pick the style you want, and then you'll also need to think about whether you want it painted or plain or whatever.
You like Frankie loves his?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he built one for my son that looks like a clubhouse in his bedroom. It's hot. It looks like a treehouse.
Did you? You didn't have it painted though, did you?
Yeah, we stained it. It's like got a blue stain.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's well constructed, like good quality.
Yeah. He doesn't play around.
Okay, good.
Like he built that thing. Nothing is screwed or nailed. It's all bolted together.
Oh wow.
So he does everything, pre-does everything, and then puts it together and then bolts it. That's nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll show this to Gunner.
You want me to show you which one I like out of those, or no? I don't like the white one.
Do I want you to show me
which one
you like?
Yes, for your son.
For my son to have?
Yes. The white one looks too girly. I just don't see that one as him.
I don't like that one either. Okay. You probably like that one.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, that's one I like too.
Okay.
That's the one he's going to like too, I think.
That's the one you're going to go home and show him?
Yeah. Hey, here's one design.
Here's what you get to pick from.
Here's the one you get. All right. Well, here's what's going to look like. Oh, that's okay. I wish it was white, though.
My dad, when I was a little kid, built me a bed out of old. I don't even know what it was. It was old drawers from like a Walmart or a Kmart or something like that had closed, and they moved to their new building like down the road. So they were selling like all the old displays, and he built some bed and then used the drawers from the Walmart or the Kmart from the fabric section. I have no idea. I have no idea what he did, but that was like my dad. Need a new bed? I'll make you one.
Oh man, I remember my dad went. I need a new bicycle. And
I'll
came
make
home.
You one.
It was a folding bike. It was like one of the very first folding bikes. And like, it's cool if you're an old man and you have a bike. You can take it, put it in your car, take it away. No, Dad, I want one that's got pegs on it. I can go BMXing.
I want a boy bike.
I want a bike that everyone else has. I don't want something different. Because at that age, you want to be like everybody else. No one wants to be different. And so here I am on my folding bike. And it looks like, seriously, it looks like if you're handicapped and you have a bicycle, this is what yours looks like.
It looks like a walker with wheels. wheels.
It looks like a walker with wheels, and the wheels are small and funky, and the spokes were goofy, and it had weird little levers and stuff because it has to fold down and, you know, collapse. And I would pull up, my buds would be out on their, like, their red line. You remember red line?
Mongoose.
Yeah. Yeah, and they got numbers on, they got number plates on the front.
Oh, yeah. See, I never had that.
And, you know, and here I pull up. Hey guys, what's up? And here I'm, this fat kid, and I don't fit on it very well. The whole auga. And I pull up, and everyone's like, "What is that?" I'm like, and you know, I'm going by what my dad did. You know, I'm thinking, well, you know, my dad was so excited that it folds, so I had to be as excited. So I go, "It folds up." And they're like,
"It's a transformer."
They're like, "What? Yeah, you can fold it." And they're like, "That's stupid." They take off, and I can't keep up with them.
You gotta try to put it back together.
Yeah, I'm trying to unfold it. The whole thing ended up breaking. Like, the whole frame broke because I was so fat. It was made for frail old women who live on like an RV
park. Who would never ride it?
Who would just never ride it. That's for RVers. Anyway, never got a cool bike.
You want to build a submarine?
Let's build a submarine. Well, let's start with the door. Let's get the door first. All right. And we'll build it from there.
I'm down with that. Here we go.
We'll patrol America's coastlines.
I think it's time for the songwriter spotlight. We'll get out of here. JT Harding, very, very cool songwriter, and a fun little interview. Check it out.
Hey, our songwriter spotlight today, it's JT Harding.
Woo! Get out of bed. Get out of bed, country music fans. JT Harding yeah. Live in front of your naked, steaming earlobes.
So you are obviously very high. Right now on live and excited. I you know, you've got a song somewhere in my car that you
yes.
wrote. Just a little song that was number one for Keith Urban.
Yes.
When you're writing a song, and you're like, this would be perfect for whoever, do you have that person in your head? And then do you go approach that person, or do you just kind of, whoever gets it?
Well,
and you don't hold it out.
I said this would be perfect for Tim McGraw, but since I was writing with Keith, he looked at me and said, "Wouldn't you think this would be good for me, mate?" So this is a song I actually wrote with the great Keith Urban. So this one is for Keith. Other times, I try to write it not thinking who it would actually be for, and let some, because that can maybe kind of limit your lyric, you know.
I hear a lot of songwriter demos, and whenever the song's on, you sit there and maybe not while they were writing it, but after the fact, you look back and you go, "Oh, that's a perfect Rascal Flatts song. That's a perfect so and so song. That's a this song. That's a Miranda. That's a," you know, you can hear certain people singing certain songs.
Yeah, absolutely. And
do
you know,
do that after the fact where you go, "You know what? This sounds, now that it's done, this sounds like so and so."
Yes, absolutely. And I'm from Detroit, so I think what's worked for me, if there's any young songwriters out there, I've just written what how I grew up and things that I know, instead of trying to sound country. You know, I mean, I saw, there's no tractors in Detroit. I saw one once, but that's not anything you would want to write a song
about.
Yeah, so.
The Henry Ford Museum.
Was it getting tagged?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't say like, "Oh, this guy," I just think.
Didn't you write with or for Uncle Cracker?
Yes. He's probably somewhere now asleep with a lit cigarette in his hand and a bottle of grape soda. I guess what I was trying to say is I try not to write for an artist because I don't think I know the details exactly of where a Luke Bryan or a Kenny Chesney, where they grew up or something like that. But luckily, songs I've written, like, you know, Kenny Chesney has recorded, but not because I was trying to make it for him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This beer flavored candle is really tricking my mind.
See,
up.
It does smell like beer.
It smells like beer.
Yes, it
smells like old beer. It smells like a bar floor.
It smells like beer.
Totally.
JT has written songs for Kenny Chesney and Jake Owen and Keith Urban. Speaking of Keith, you did his latest number one.
Yes, Somewhere in My Car.
We would love to hear. I always love to hear the songwriter's version of it because I always think it sounds better.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the guitar solo.
Oh, okay, you're not. Can you do the guitar solo for him?
Yeah, no, I can't do Keith Urban's. Hey,
before you go into the song, is there anything cool that, I mean, you said you wrote it with him. I mean, where were you guys at whenever you were about to write the song? Did you go in saying, "Okay, here's what we're going to accomplish"?
I'll totally honest, Keith made it very easy for me. He had the guitar chords and the melody pretty much, and he even knew that he wanted the lyric to be kind of a reminiscent looking back. So he was super focused. And I remember Keith has this black sports car from the future. I'm from Detroit, and like I've seen every kind of car. But he said, why don't we drive around and listen to some music and, you know, go get something to eat? We get in this car, and he has the music so loud, I'm probably not going to be able to have babies. And when you're driving in a black sports car from the future with the windows down in Nashville with a superstar from Nashville, I mean, Keith didn't even notice. Everyone was just like pointing and their jaws were dropping. And I said, I mean, you feel like you're like Batman and Robin when you're with this guy. You know, that's more that I remember about just hanging around with him, how fun it was.
He doesn't even really notice the people staring at him.
No, if he does, he doesn't let on. No, he's like, oh, man, I got to stop for gas, you know. And I'm like, oh, no problem. I'm like, yeah, what's up, baby? Yeah, well, that's Keith Urban, but he's married. My name's JT. You know?
I'm assuming you're the Robin in the Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Okay, I wasn't making sure.
That is good. That is good. If anyone's wanted, yeah. So, and writing the song was very easy, and then, man, they just made a great track of it, and I don't know him that well, but he's very, very cool and easygoing, and you know that's about all I know. And he'll text you late at night, just wild, funny stuff.
That's fun. Well, okay. We'd love to hear it.
Oh, cool. Somewhere in my car.
Here's JT Harding, sans Keith Urban.
Sans Keith. Driving home tonight, catching all red lights. That's all right, 'cause I don't wanna be alone. Nobody waiting there, cold and empty bed. Words I wished I'd said, come on the radio. Ooh-hoo. And I don't know why I do this to myself. Ooh-hoo. I know you're with someone else, but in my mind we're somewhere in my car and it's raining hard on the street light glow. You got your lips on mine, it's gasoline on fire. I never will forget. You grab my shirt and pull it over my head, and your fingertips slide up and down my back, breathing hard, steaming up the glass. Give anything if I could get you back. Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's kind of a sexy part of the song too.
Yeah, he's Ow. Stopped it when it's just getting good.
Story of my life.
I don't, of all the talents that I don't have, there's a lot of them. Writing a song to me seems like it's. I meet guys who go, "Yeah, I have a writing session today." I'm like, "Okay," like I would have to get into like a candle room and
kind of like this.
Yeah. And you know, you guys do it almost. At will.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. It going every day to just one of the buildings on Music Row, it's magical, and I'm lucky to be able to do that, but it's also fun to and really productive to get out of town. I mean, I actually just got back from Isla Mujeres, so we flew on a plane down there with like seven great songwriters, so we wrote songs on an island for 4 days, and it was unreal.
Can you write that off?
Someone else paid for it, so.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I would have to be on an island, yes. And it would have to be moonlight.
Do all the songs
whatever.
Come out as island songs when you all do this?
No, we just wrote one, but you're definitely inspired, and you come up with different lyrics.
I would think everything would be summer when you're doing that. You would only write summer songs.
Exactly. But funny enough, I wrote Smile with Uncle Cracker in 6 feet of snow at his cottage in northern Michigan. And he was like, what about a summer song? And I like look out the window and his Cadillac is stuck like literally 40 yards down the driveway. And I'm running out there for his cigarettes. I'm like, a summer song? Yeah. God, what are you drinking? Pass it over.
Could you give us a little bit of that?
Absolutely.
Smile?
Sure. You're better than the best. I'm lucky just to linger in your light, cooler than the flip side of my pillow. That's right. Completely unaware, nothing can compare to where you send me. Lets me know that it's okay. Yeah, it's okay in the moments when my good times start to fade. Make me smile like the sun, fall out of bed, sing like a bird, dizzy in my head, spin like a record on the Big D and Bubba show.
Oh, I like the way you do that.
You make me dance like a fool, forget how to breathe. Shine like gold and buzz like a bee. Just the thought of you can drive me wild. Oh, you make me smile.
Awesome. Woo! Man, thank you. Thanks for taking the time to do all this for us.
No problem, man. Thanks for playing the songs.
And I do want to say this, too, just because, and I think you need to know this, as somebody who wrote that song with Uncle Cracker, one of the best performances ever in this studio, easily in the top 15, and we've had everybody playing here, was Uncle Cracker doing Smile with, he brought the band. It was amazing.
Rad, right here in this building.
They tore it down. So I think you would like to know that your song was treated very well.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff. He is a great guy.
Where can we find
Big
you?
Big D and Bubba.
Online. God, dog. Can you imagine hanging with him all day? It'd just be like random. Where can we find
just,
you online?
You know what? Just type my name into that little Google and something will come up.
You're on Twitter right now?
Actually, I am. It's under. I have a little band sometimes called JTX. So my Twitter is JTX Rockstar. Okay. Yeah. Hottub69.com.
It sounds like my son made that band name.
Yeah. No, the band is called JTX. Yeah. All the cool Twitter names were taken. Yeah.
You're like the guy in high school who we all knew. Like, you haven't changed at all from high school, have you?
Oh, well, listen, I know. Well, this is the radio. Use the theater of the mind, people. I'm a pretty attractive young dude, but Cracker calls me McLovin from a freaking Superbad. I mean, I'm like, dude, can't you just pick one of the other cool? Yeah, so no, I haven't changed that much.
McLovin, it's great. All right.
I don't look like that, ladies.
JT Harding / McLovin. Yeah. There you go, our songwriter spotlight. Links help you out, BigDandBubba.com, or just Google. Put him in the old Google
JT
bar.
JT Harding. Yeah.
JT Harding.
And again, thank you to Walmart. The podcast this week brought to you by Walmart, where you're going to find low prices on everything you need for a fresh start this new year, this fabulous 2015. Enjoy big savings with rollbacks and clearance on thousands of items throughout the store and, of course, online as well. Start strong, save big, Walmart.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio. Every day, it was the podcast.